Hello, hello, it's Yokai Kajidori here, and on behalf of my business partner Trevor Stockwell and the amazing team here at World Outsourcing Solutions, I want to welcome you to this special episode of Enlightened Entrepreneur. You can find us at worldoutsourcingsolutions.com, where we specialize in providing business owners from all walks of life with highly trained, highly skilled virtual assistants. We are the go-to center of all your outsourcing needs based here in the United Kingdom. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Enlightened Entrepreneur. Today, my special guest is Ozzy Rosenblum. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. For over a decade, Ozzy has been developing a professional reputation as the solution guy with a degree in management information systems and experience in building and improving small businesses. He has an eye for efficient operational planning and resource management. Welcome to the call, Ozzy.
Thank you, Guy. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. Now, to get us started, what do you actually do in your company, Remsource?
Sure. Thank you. Great question. My employees always have the same question. So, we're going to keep it somewhat of a mystery so they don't get all the secrets. But Remsource is a provider of administrative and bookkeeping services. We work primarily with solo practitioners and small businesses. And as an outsourced solution for admin and books, we can provide business owners the ability to focus on what they're supposed to be doing, to have stability in their resources, and just let them do the things that create and generate revenue, while we take care of all the mechanical parts of their business that keep it moving every day.
Incredible. What I like about what you do is sort of similar to what we do here at World Outsourcing Solutions, that we give business owners an opportunity to really work on things that they're really good at and delegate the things that are a must or that are mandatory for the success of the organization to other people. And you do exactly the same thing. And how long have you been running this business for?
Sure. We've been around for 6.5 wonderful years.
Excellent. And how has been the journey?
It's been amazing. You know, we've learned a lot. We certainly started with one concept and learned a lot about the market, and we're surprised to find a lot of the results to be quite different than what we were expecting. So it's in the world of small business, especially solo practitioners, and especially with all the technology changing on a regular basis, every day is a new day, and it's exciting.
Incredible. So let's talk about how you got started, because I would like to assume that you were an employee at one point, and then you thought of transitioning from just being somebody, working for someone else to actually owning your business. Let's talk about that for a moment.
Sure. So my background, my professional background was I hovered in very small startup type of environments. I've always had a passion for small business, partially because, I like the pace of things, but also because I really like to see situations where operationally I can affect change quickly. And in larger organizations, the ability to spot a solution doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to execute it that quickly. So small business and startup really gives you the opportunity to walk in and say, hey, let's do things differently and see what the result is. As I was sunsetting that last position that I had as an employee, the passion for the things I just mentioned came together with a recognition that there was a need. I actually had a few close friends that were small business owners that were on their own, one with a professional trade, the other with a more blue collar trade, if you will. And I started to recognize a pattern that as a business owner and as a solo practitioner, as soon as their pay started to pick up and the needs for their everyday operations started to get beyond the time that they had in every day, they went from, somebody call me to everyone, please stop calling me, which is, of course, the opposite of what you want to see as a business owner. So that sort of inspired the solution. And that's how we brought this thing together.
Excellent. And having identified the need, what were your initial steps to actually bring the solution to the market? What did you do for the benefit of our listeners?
Sure. So, in general, when you have a good idea, you want to make sure that you're not the 50th person to have that good idea. So we did a little bit of research and started looking at the solutions that were out there. That was definitely step one. And continue to fine tune the concept behind how we do things specifically. But also, you know, did a little bit of research and talked to a lot of people about how to really create that value proposition. Because as we all know, you know, everybody throws around the term win-win solution. You've got to turn a good idea into a good business model as well before you can launch it. So, you know, having done some of that research and then eventually deciding to take the leap, secured the financial plan to get through at least the first year of operation, with the assumption that there wouldn't be much of a profit, and off we went.
Incredible. Also, you know, one thing I'm very interested in knowing how, you know, on a personal level, what sort of changes you had to go through to become the business owner, as we know that, you know, an employee is a different person to a business owner. What had to happen on a personal level for you?
Sure. So, you know, a part of the story is that the business started in my home, which is on a personal level, very challenging and also something that many of my clients do, you know, as well, you know, and balancing the merger of those two separate spaces, you know, prior to that, when you're at work, and when you come home, you're home, even with mobile devices and connectivity, and even with management responsibilities, to a certain extent, there's a physical change when you leave your office. So that's a big challenge, being physically in your home, you know, and being able to balance the time that you're spending at work and the time that you're spending, you know, at home. But, you know, the financial aspect of it is also very eye-opening. You know, the stability of employment, even though at times being an employee can seem frustrating or limiting, you know, and while starting a company is extremely empowering, it certainly comes with a tremendous amount of responsibility and a tremendous amount of no guarantees. So, you know, managing that transition and recognizing that where that direct deposit used to hit every 2 weeks, now it was subject to what was going to happen. It's a big change, but those of us that are out here doing this, it's because we are passionate about it and we believe in ourselves and in our businesses. So, hey, we keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, they say, you know, once you become a business owner, you have overcome this, you can never go back. You mentioned something very important there, that, you know, merging the two spheres, the work environment and being at home. How did you effectively manage that transition?
Sure. You know, I would say, in all honesty, it's always a work in progress. You know, the reality is, you know, I think a lot of people put on a very strong, you know, face when they're out there networking and selling and developing. But if we're having this discussion for the benefit of business owners, I think it's important to be brutally honest. It is very challenging. It's always challenging. 6.5 years later, it's still a challenge. You're making sure that I am compartmentalizing and, you know, walking away. There's always more work to do. My wife says it all the time. You know, you work a late night and she's like, look, you know, I think it's time to call it a night. There's always going to be more work to do. And when you have those responsibilities as the business owner, that's the fact. So, you know, I think the work-life balance, which is the term that's thrown around a lot, I think that seeking it means that there's already a problem. I think
right.
We just need to make sure that we are putting our best effort forward. And in reality, you know, back to the context of some of the specifics of this conversation, you know, sometimes working harder doesn't really create more results. You know, you can do a better 4 or 5 hours if you've gotten some sleep and you've spent some time with your family and you've eaten than you can by pulling an 18-hour energy drink fueled, you know, binge at the office. So it's important to fight those habits, but I don't think that challenge ever goes away, or at least in my experience, you know, it doesn't. I have to continue to reset myself and make sure that I'm not losing that equilibrium.
Incredible. How true. I can testify that even in my own life when we were starting World Outsourcing Solutions, because you have to make sure that all the things are being looked after, you know, starting from the financial aspect to the legal status of your company, and making sure that the clients are happy, because you don't want to create customers who comes and go. You want to create clients who stays with you and grow with you, the business grow. So it's, you know, continuous you know, effort, and you have to keep on working on it, which is one of the qualities of entrepreneurs. Let's talk for a moment about the, you know, now that you had the idea, you went for it, you had, you know, the financial plan, you know, all in place. How did you get your first client?
That's a great question. I started as all salespeople do, I think, in my closest inner circle, and started sharing this idea and concept, with everyone that I knew. And one of the first clients was a friend who, had that same need and was willing to give it a shot. So, I started in the closest trust bubble that I had, found someone with a need, made a proposal, and off we went.
And today, those have referred people to you that you're now doing business with as well.
Absolutely. In the world of professional services, your fastest and most direct method of getting new clients is by keeping happy ones.
Incredible. Incredible. And how do you actually market your business now, 6 years later from when you got started?
I think it's still very much, the same concept. I've certainly, run out of friends, so maybe I need to make more. The business relationships and the professional interactions that we've had with clients and with their other, folks involved in their businesses, whether it's their CPAs or their attorneys, we are out there continuing to make a good impression and reputation. And primarily our business comes from referrals, and from direct networking and relationship building. We do not have any major marketing or lead generation sources in place other than that.
Incredible, incredible. It just sounds like what we do here at World Outsourcing Solution. Like when you do a great job, it becomes impossible for people not to talk about you. Those clients that you already have becomes your raving fans or your raving salespeople, so to speak. So, what you're talking about there, that you create a lot of value to the existing clients or keeping them happy, is the best strategy to have. Just taking you just a moment ago when you said, in the beginning, you told everyone you knew. What was the idea behind telling everyone you knew when you were getting started?
Sure. So, there's an incredible thing, when it comes to this kind of industry and business, which is, you need to remember that every relationship is important, and it's very important to educate everyone around you, professionally and personally, about specifically what you do. So many times, business owners are so wrapped up in what they do every day that they make the assumption that everybody else knows it as well as they do. So, in my approach, it's important that I educate everyone I'm in contact with about the basics of what we do, because everybody knows a business owner and everybody knows someone who knows a business owner. And the, as you mentioned before, the referral-based tap on the shoulder, someone that you trust and know says to you, hey, I see you're struggling with this, or you need a little bit of that. Maybe you should call this person because I hear they do a good job. That's how deals come in, and they're already closed. So by making sure that people have that knowledge, at a basic level of what we do, it allows them to be out there interacting with other people. And when they see something that's a match, they say, hey, I see that you started your own, chiropractic firm, or that you've gone out on your own as a, solo practicing mental health professional. And these are some of the types of firms that we work with. And I see that you're having a hard time answering your phone, or that you seem to be working late nights. Maybe you should reach out to RemSource and maybe you should find out about what they do. And that's an incredibly powerful way to make sure that your business is always marketed by people that understand the solution and can spot for the things that are the signs of needing that solution.
Incredible, incredible. It's so true. You must be, selling is something at the same time, or creating those relationships if you want your business to thrive in the long run. Because at the moment you stop, the existing clients could leave, and you are, ground zero again, have to start over. So it's just a continuous, or relentless way, just going out to get clients all the time. Let's talk for a moment, Ozzy, here, how your day looks like 6 years later after you started running your own business.
Sure. So, as the owner of a small business, I still have a couple different responsibilities, which, in concept, in some ways, compete with each other. So, I have to transition between certain hats. I have some, operational responsibilities here, as well as, client relationship management and business development. Those are the main things that I do. I have my agenda and my list of things that need to be accomplished today or yesterday. And I try to work them through. I do as much time blocking as I can and really try to push things off into the time slots that are available. But as you've mentioned, you know, previously in the call, sometimes things come up, and as the business owner, you just got to deal with it. But one of the things that I've definitely learned how to do and developed over the years and continue to work on is being able to compartmentalize and focus. You know, I sometimes, you know, the nice thing about being in this industry is that I feel like I'm the perfect client for it sometimes. So I'm doing my own research and development. But, you know, it's like when I talk to people, sometimes I describe it as 10 years ago on dial-up internet. If you tried to download too many files at the same time and you had the 6 or 7 boxes up on your screen and they're all reading at about 72%, and they're dragging along, but none of the files are fully downloaded. Sometimes your day feels like that. You're just not finishing anything specific, and it's important to make sure that you finish things. You know, as someone, a business contact of mine recently said, there's a lot of people that think that there are things that are urgent and emergencies in my inbox, but I don't agree with them. This is not an emergency necessarily, and I'm going to finish what I'm doing, and then I will take care of that, and I'll do a better job doing it that way. So, you know, organizing time, staying focused, making lists, making sure that you're reassessing priorities, that's sort of the everyday life. But when you're the boss of a small business, every moment is another moment for triage. You have to constantly be reassessing, because some things are just unfortunately more time sensitive than others.
That's correct. Yes. Let's talk about very briefly your balance, your family life balance. Because as a business owner, sometimes the business tend to want to come in your personal relationship at home. How do you balance that?
Sure. You know, same scenario. It's about time management and being able to walk away. It's about priorities, you know. And again, I'll bare my soul to you and the world of your listeners. It is a constant struggle. I've got my oldest is 13, my youngest is 6. You know, and I can't say that I've always done a perfect job, but you just need to remind yourself that, you know, the personal aspects of your life, your relationships, are the area where you will see the most success out of the time that you invest than anything else. Another hour at your desk does not guarantee results, but an hour with your kids, I promise you, you will see results for a long time to come. And you just have to remind yourself that your family's a priority, just like the business. You know, it may not generate financial revenue, but it generates revenue of a much greater kind.
Wise words. Absolutely. I've come across, you know, entrepreneurs who lose a lot of things. I mean, who lose their relationships in the pursuit of their business goals, only to find they reach those goals and they look back and say, who am I going to share this, you know, the experience, the goal, the success with? And there's no one there. The children despise them. You know, their friends, you know, detest, you know, their attitude. And it's a loss. And with what you just shared there, that if you have a good balance, you get to enjoy the success. And, you know, it becomes a blast all around.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and I think that's part of the mission and the passion that you and I both have for working in this market, because a lot of the patterns that we're talking about and a lot of the end results that sometimes are negative that people see trace back to the decision not to spread out responsibilities, not to delegate, and not to redefine how the business is structured. And if somebody, you know, continues to make themselves the one address for every aspect of their business and continues to set themselves up for 18, 19 hour days, then there's just no way that the result is going to be any different than what you're describing. And that's why it's important to take a step back as a business owner and say to yourself, okay, you know, I've done what I have to do. At the beginning, you have to do everything. You have to stay up late. You have to work hard. But when this thing starts to pick up pace, it's time to step back and say, okay, that was the old plan. Now, how do I do this differently? How do I do this better as the business grows so that I actually see the benefits of the results and get to enjoy them as a person? And that's where growing your team, bringing in more resources, taking responsibilities and delegating them to others is so critically important, especially for solo and small business owners.
Absolutely. Talking about growing your team, at what point in your business in the last 6 years, 6.5 years, did you decide you want to start growing your team? And what were the criteria you were using to identify, for example, outsourcers or, you know, having an additional part-timer?
Sure. So, you know, as a professional services provider, we size of our team, the administrative team and the bookkeeping team, is of course directly related to the client list and our production and sales. So we monitor very closely the work and responsibilities that we have contracted to our clients and make sure that we can do them at our standard with the resources that we have. And, you know, we reach a certain breaking point where it's time to bring somebody on. But as the team gets bigger, you know, you have to consider more things. People get sick, people take vacation, people take lunch break every now and again. So, you know, the main growth as far as our team is definitely in the providers of administrative and bookkeeping services. And that is, you know, carefully tied to the client list. In addition to that, there have been parts of the responsibilities as a business owner that over the years I have learned to walk away from. For example, I happen to have a background in technology and I used to manage my own servers, you know, and at a certain point you start to realize that that's just creating too many interruptions in your day and that that's a self-created problem. So I bit the bullet and I went to Office 365 and I've never had to reboot my Exchange server again. And the amount of time that I've saved not doing that is tremendously helpful and lets me just stay focused. So, you know, there are aspects of, you know, our own bookkeeping, some other support services and advisory services that as you grow, as we said before, you just have to keep asking yourself, is yesterday's plan still the right plan for today?
Absolutely. And grow with the company and develop. You see, when I started, there were things that I used to do, you know, because there was no one to do. But now as the business grows with clients in Australia, the US, and, you know, a lot of them here in the UK, you know, I cannot afford to do those things. So, you know, you just have to delegate. Let somebody else do that, and they give you the report. And sometimes they do it even better. than the way you would do. And I had to learn, you know, to delegate, to move away from I want to do it all. And I think our listeners, you know, may find that useful, you know, hearing that from you as well, running a sort of similar business in the same line of business of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's, you know, it's got to be about results, not ego and not sense of accomplishment and not the things that you enjoy doing. It's about what is the best way to do this for the business and for the clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, standing where you are today, what do you know now that you wish if you had known before, you will be far, far ahead?
Wow, that is a great question. One of the from a marketing and business development perspectives, one of the things that I was surprised pleasantly to find out was that we made the assumption when we started the solution that the path that a client was going to be on was one of continuous growth and development beyond themselves, and that everybody wanted to build a big team and a machine. What I've found actually is that the market is quite saturated with people that are practicing as solo practitioners, and they're doing that deliberately. There are people that have spent a good chunk of their career working in larger firms, whether it's a legal firm or an accounting firm or other sort of service, and they don't want to manage anymore, and they don't want to have large teams. They want to be as efficient as they can, and they want to be on their own, and they want to maximize their revenue and, you know, get some of that work-life balance that they may not have had even as employees in larger firms for 20, 30 years. So that's been exciting because it means that the clients stick with us much longer, where we would have assumed that within 18 to 24 months, they were going to the point where they needed to hire their own direct staff and make that stuff happen in-house. But I think the biggest revelation, you know, for me as a business owner with my skills and with my, you know, challenges and my opportunities has been the importance of consistency in marketing and sales. I think you alluded to it earlier in our conversation, but you know, if your pipeline is going from dry to flush to dry to flush because you're responding to your needs on a regular basis, it's a very uneven result. And the importance of staying out there and marketing and talking to people and not always selling, you know, if you become that person that's constantly selling at every barbecue, you stop getting invited to barbecues, but you just have to talk with pride and interest about the business and educate people and continue to line up new opportunities and new conversations. And that has to be a part of your daily routine, because if you're just selling to survive, then as soon as the deal is closed, you stop selling and you start servicing, and then something changes again, and then you're hungry and you're panicky. So for me personally, the greatest development that I've had since starting my own business has been recognizing what it takes to sell correctly. Because frankly, I was always in operational roles. I was never responsible for business development until I started my own business. And that was quite a challenge.
Absolutely. Because you have to learn to be strategic in your operations, you know, move away from being tactical all the time, but have a long-term view of how you're going to be getting sales or, you know, new clients, and how you're going to be servicing them along the way as well. Let's talk about the services that you offer, because you've got, something very interesting there, which I personally believe that, you know, the business community is desperately in need of. Would you share your service with us, what you do?
Sure. So there are two major sides to what we do, the administrative side and the bookkeeping side. On the administrative side, we become our clients' virtual back office team. So we'll do anything from answer phones, schedule appointments, manage executive calendars, handle customer service for our clients, and own any sort of processes or workflows within their businesses so that they, again, can focus on the activities that create the most value within their businesses. And what specifically those things are is all about the industry that they're in and the way they like to do their work. On the bookkeeping side, we also provide full bookkeeping services, including your standard reconciliations and month-end reports, as well as taking ownership of the accounts receivable and accounts payable cycles, which is also extremely helpful, you know, to a growing business owner. You know, you may be efficient and providing an excellent service, but if you're not billing on time, then you're messing with your own cash flow, and that can create challenges of its own. So we can tap ourselves into those workflow, make sure that we have access to the information that's needed, bill on time, send out reminders on time. We do not do collections, and I bring that up not just to clarify our services, but because I think people need to remember, and I say this all the time, sometimes I think that collections issues are a function of poor billing practices to begin with.
Right.
If you bill your clients late and you're not good with following up, then you're not going to get paid. Everybody pays their bills the same way we do. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. The one that sends the bills gets paid. And especially in professional services, if you're an IT person and you clean someone's computer when it's completely virus ridden and not operational, but you bill 6 weeks later, they don't love you as much as they did the day after you cleaned their computer and got them back to work. You've got to move faster.
Well put. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You were sharing with me earlier on about, the testimonial of how some of your clients that you've assisted in your services, you've had some tremendous results. Would you share with our listeners?
Sure. So, you know, as I mentioned before, we are not market specific because we believe that the operational and bookkeeping needs of clients are outside of the specific industry that they're in. So, you know, some examples of clients we work with, one that I'm thinking of, which we've been working with almost since the beginning of the company, is a remodeling company that has literally grown from, you know, two guys that were building decks and refinishing basements here and there, and have now started closing major commercial contracts. They did a massive housing community with 200 apartments. They do nursing home rehabilitation work as well. And, you know, they have really come out from that small market that they were in because they had the ability to think about their business and, you know, have proposals written and receive opportunities and follow up on them, whereas before they were just swinging hammers and working hard. So we work with those industries, but we've also worked with solo practicing attorneys and mental health professionals. I'm thinking of one mental health professional, you know, specifically that really just struggled to take care of all the stuff that has to get done when you're dealing with patients, which is a very, very challenging type of industry to work in. It's personally draining, not in a negative sense, but you're really giving your heart and soul to these clients. And then to have to, you know, return phone calls and reschedule appointments and call in prescriptions and things of that nature, it's very hard. So giving them the ability to focus on what they do best, which is sit with their clients and provide them the support that they need, you know, while we take care of all that other stuff, allow that client to grow their practice and to provide a better service overall. And, you know, the model continues throughout many industries and service types. It's the basic concept that if you focus your energy where it's most meaningful and impactful, you will create better results and a better business.
Incredible, incredible. I love to hear the success stories because there's a proof of the work that you're doing and hearing that. And actually on your website, which I'm hoping you'll be able to share with our listeners later on as we come to the end, you know, when you have more reviews and more testimonials, it means you're actually making the difference, which is what it is about. You know, business is about, you know, adding value to another person's life and making a difference. I've got this question that is, you know, in my head right now. If I could ask you what TV character you could want to be, what would you say? I know it's out of what we're talking about. Talk to me about that for a moment.
Sure. You know, I was ready to answer the question like while you were asking it. Jack Bauer.
We all love Jack Bauer. Why do you like him so much?
You know, I love Jack Bauer because he just gets it done. You know, I think besides, you know, my little boy dreams of being a policeman, which I don't think any of us ever outgrow. I think part of what really appeals to me is, you know, here's someone that just takes charge, that knows how to create solutions in situations where the path to success is just not clear. And that is something that resonates with me and something that I bring to work and bring to my clients every day. You know, the answers are not always there, but you do know what the goal is. And if you're the type of person that can receive a goal and just get there, regardless of what it takes, then you've got what it takes to start a business, because that's what every day is like. There's no instruction manual for this.
No, you just have to go get it. I remember watching 24 and Jack Bauer, you know, one of the men was commenting and saying, whatever Jack wants, Jack gets. You know, that's what business owners like. You know, we have to go get what we want. Let's wrap this up with, you know, finding out what is the mission of RemSource, as, you know, as you would want to put it as a business owner.
Sure. So RemSource is in the business of helping small businesses grow. You know, today that means the work that we're doing and the way that we're doing it, but with technology changing and solutions coming on board all the time, our goal is to make businesses as efficient and effective as possible. And we will always make sure that we're in the position to make sure that that is what we're bringing to the table. Folks start businesses and they're good at what they do. We want to be good at making it run. So that's what we do.
Incredible. And all your team, are they based in Baltimore where you're based, or, you know, they're all over the place?
Yes, my team is all based in Baltimore. We all come to work in the same space and work together and collaborate daily. So that is a unique setup, but to me, it's an important part of delivering an in-house experience with outsourced value.
Awesome. And I understand you guys do the answering service. Is that part of what you, of the overall plan? Or there's a bit of a difference there?
So phone answering is part of what we do for our clients. We don't target or really seek out opportunities for just pure answering. That's a very competitive market, and it's got some excellent solutions out there for virtual reception and stuff like that. We answer phones as a function of being able to do what we do for our clients. So, for example, the difference between taking a message, which would be a traditional answering service, and us actually being able to take a call to really evaluate the needs of the caller, find out if it's a good opportunity for our client, and schedule the first appointment. That's how far we would like to go for our clients, as opposed to just gathering information and, you know, providing a live experience.
Incredible, incredible. Any final words you want to give to entrepreneurs here that are actually starting out, you know, on this journey, as we wrap up the call?
Sure. I think the most universal two pieces of advice that I've learned to give over the years is, number one, be passionate and be driven to do what you're doing, but make sure that you remember that it is a business and you've got to keep your eyes on the numbers. The results are measured in your balance sheet and profit and loss report, not in how you feel. And that goes both ways, because I've seen clients ready to throw in the towel. And then we put their books together and they see that they're actually doing quite well. And we've seen clients that think they're doing really well, but are spending their time and energy energy on things that are not profitable. And the second thing is to, you know, and it correlates, but pricing, especially in the professional services or the services world, people go out on their own and undercut the markets that they've come out of. But you quickly realize as your business grows that there might have been a reason why the firm you were working for was charging a different rate. You've got to price for profits, not necessarily just to close deals. You will find clients that will pay you what you're asking. You just need to make sure that it's working for you.
Incredible. Wise words there for you. And thanks again, Ozzy, for being here with us and, you know, sharing your story and your strategies that you are using, which have been working for the last 6.5 years. You know, it's quite generous of you. And where can people get hold of you if they want to be in touch with you and make use of your services?
Sure. So they can learn more about Remsource at remsource.com. That's remsource.com. And there you'll find all our information about our services and how to contact me as well. And I would love to speak to anybody who's a business owner, even just to chat. You know, you can come away. I'm not always looking for an opportunity for a new client. I love talking to business owners. I learn something every time I do. And if I can share something with you, then it's been a successful call as well.
Absolutely. Thanks again for being here with us. And for our listeners, I look forward to being with you again in another episode of Enlightened Entrepreneur. Have a great day.
Yukai, thank you.
You're welcome.